Yeah, boy, it's August 10th and it's episode 177, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We have a great show for you tonight. This is personally one of my favorites. Tonight is probably one of our most popular shows that we do in the draft season. It is our RB only podcast. Of course, our analysts, they're sometimes here. As you'll notice, this is Slim for those that aren't aware. Our regular host is MIA. I hope that he hasn't drowned on the lake. He was supposed to be. Oh, it's
He
just got a
just
text. He's on his way now. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, he's a little bit late. That's good. He's obviously hasn't capsized his vessel on the lake. He's on vacation, heading to a place with some Wi-Fi. So I'm kind of just jumping in for tonight. We're going raw and uncut again. There'll be no editing, no music, no sound effects. But hopefully that's okay. But Blister, you're here. How was golf last night?
You know what? Not bad. I struggled on the front nine when it mattered, and then on the
Yeah.
back nine when it didn't matter, I played a lot better. So it was all right. You know what? We got some heat here, and we shouldn't complain about the
Oh.
heat where we are. But I couldn't care. Like I don't like it. You know, for our American listeners, 70 degrees would be just fine for me up here in Canada, 18 to 23. But like right now, it was 33 or something today Celsius. Can be 34 tomorrow. That sucks. It's too hot.
Yeah, I can't handle when it starts getting to like this 100 range with it's and it's not
Yeah.
like dry heat, it's kind of
Humid.
humid and
Yeah.
I mean, it's too hot to golf. It's too hot to go
Yeah.
outside with the kids. Like
Yeah.
my kids are young, so I know.
It might almost be too hot to fish. I don't
Well,
think that'll ever happen, but at least you can jump in the lake,
no,
which we will
I don't
tomorrow.
want to do it. It's not,
Yeah.
there's not enough breeze. It's just gross. Like I just want to sit in the air conditioning and
That's right.
not go outside, but
We got, but other than that, we got I got a draft coming up. I'm not sure. I don't think you're in that one. Sunday night, we have an
nope.
auction draft on Yahoo, I believe it is. So we got a few. I think Beck's is in that one, but some of the local guys here. It's a just a small one, and it'll be fun though. It'll be kind of good to get in the groove, and talking about RB should get me kind of prepped for that. And it's going to be a busy day. Kids want to have a garage sale tomorrow morning, so that'll be a hell of a way to start. And
Gross.
follow that up with a day on the lake, and then Sunday, kind of in some kind of a golf little deal before the pod or the draft Sunday night. So I think I'll probably be half awake or half impaired or
Oh,
something for that draft. It
yeah.
might not be good. It might be ugly.
Well, you better be. It's a good thing Bex will be there to kind of do it with you to keep you awake. Hopefully, I'm sure you guys can have a
Exactly.
couple more sodas and,
Well, yeah. I hope he's on kind of on the same schedule as he's on tonight, because he'll miss the first half and he'll get auto bid. He'll probably hope to get three or four quarterbacks in the first before he gets logged in. That'd be perfect.
You might be able to arrange
It'd
that.
be the coiner of this draft. 1 year coiner was
Eight
trying to do this
quarterbacks.
from a long distance, and yeah, he had all the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That sucked. We had no trade clause too, so he was dumping them left and right. But oh well, shit
I was in
happens.
that year. That was
Oh
actually
yeah.
frustrating
That
to
was.
watch happen.
Yeah. It was
But
brutal.
all
Oh
right.
well.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready, baby.
All right, if you're ready, I'm ready to. I gotta fill his shoes. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so before we get into this, we'll take a moment to, I guess, first thank everybody. I guess it's the time, the sign of this draft season, so to speak. We've been getting lots of mock draft data coming in. Yeah, it's been crazy, actually. Quite honestly, more than I can even get through. So I kind of have to pick and choose some. But yeah, it's been coming in fast and furious. So thanks to all the people that have been sending in their mock drafts. Again, get some. If you do regular drafts or live, real drafts, feel free to send that in too. You can send it to auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. Thanks again, like I said, to everybody who has sent in so far. But just to recap, every week, what we'll do is we will, for every entry you send in, we'll put your name in a hat and draw at right before we pod to see who the winner is. And the winner gets a free Auctioneer membership, which is valued at $14.95. It's got everything from all the values to articles to premium podcasts, tiers, you name it. So this week's winner was Matthew Baddix. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Thanks again, Matthew. He had quite a few entries, so he gave himself a pretty good shot to win. And there you go. Keep it coming, guys. Just on that note, too, today I actually tweaked the values with a bunch of DataForce mock draft data. And I will say it was very refreshing to go onto a site like that where these are real drafts now that have taken place. People have paid money to do it. And I will say this. I saw only one running back that went for over $60 in those drafts, and it was Le'Veon Bell in the one that went for $61. Every other running back was under that amount. And a lot were not much higher than like the mid 50s. So, super refreshing. I'm sure Blister, if you saw that in a real draft, you'd be happy. So I just wanted to say to the people out there, stop being puppets when you're on those big sites and using their derived auction values, and don't feel the need to bid like $70 for every running back that's out there. I have a hard time believing that in real drafts, the majority of real drafts, you're going to see five running backs go for $65 and the other ones go for 61 to 57. Like, it just seems crazy to me. Especially with the depth at the top end of the position, I just feel like you need to be smart about it. I mean, we do the same with wide receivers. I don't know why running back is that much different. I don't know, Blister, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, it's crazy. People get in these bidding wars, and they too many times. Like, that'll be the fear, I guess, I have with the Yahoo auction draft on Sunday night. Is there's some guys that probably are just remembering because I tweeted them or texted them twice or three times this week. Hey, don't forget the draft is this weekend. Hey, don't forget it's in three sleeps. Hey, don't forget the draft is tomorrow. And like starting probably tomorrow. Oh shit, I better do some research. So I'll jump on the site. I told them, you know, get on there, make sure you're familiar with it. And they'll go on there, and then they'll see, oh, wow, it says here that Le'Veon Bell is going for $73. Well, they'll just keep going, right? And it just kind of, yeah, it's kind of frustrating. But I don't ever look at the values that they show. Like, I have my own value I put on players, and I don't care what Yahoo or ESPN or CBS or NFL or anybody else would say for that matter. So that's kind of what you should do, is have your own values.
Exactly. No, I tend to agree. I mean, I get it in mock drafts, and somebody asked this question this week about like how do you take mock draft data and actually use it? And you know, it is hard sometimes because again, I think that a lot of these prices are inflated because guys just do dumb shit when it's not for real. Like, there's no money involved. This isn't their real team. They can easily walk away. And so they just go bananas at the top end, sometimes buy two or three guys for astronomical prices. I mean, if you think that you're going to get guys like, you know, Randall Cobb for a dollar, Cooper Kupp for a dollar, things like that at the end of your draft, then one, I guess you should switch drafts because you draft with a bunch of idiots. Two, that's not real feasible. Like, that's what happens a lot of the times when on these mock drafts that are on these big sites. But again, I don't think that's indicative of what is going to happen in the majority of actual drafts. But so I guess, you know, don't wrap your mind around having to spend $70+. Like, it's going to cripple your budget, I think, later on. I mean, yeah, you could end up with a few good players early, but I think the depth that you're going to get at the end, you'll be disappointed because all the guys that are listed for a buck on Yahoo or ESPN won't actually be a buck in your real draft. You think that's true, Blister?
Yeah, that's true for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, I think we'll get into a little bit today, and I thought it was a good little segue because that's one of the things I noticed when I was changing the data today and updating and stuff was how much the running backs how much cheaper they were in all these real drafts than they were versus all the mock draft data we were getting, which I thought would play in kind of nicely into what we were going to talk about tonight, which was going to be all running back. So with that being said, I guess we might as well just start.
Oh, hey, Uncle Bucket.
Perfect timing. Hey.
I was just waiting for you guys to finish what you were doing.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Well, you should see this setup, boys. I'm in the cab of the truck. I got my laptop. I got my big Yeti microphone. Oh, it's good. It's good.
Happy, happy.
Well, I thought maybe you weren't wearing your PFD in the boat and you fell in or something like that.
Well, no, by the time I get the reception enough to get the text that you sent me that you guys are ready to go, and then I'd get everybody together because we had to drop some friends off at their vehicle and drive down the road. It took me a few minutes to get it dialed in. And then when I saw you guys are already going, I thought, oh, no, I'm late. So anyways, I'm happy to be here. Tell me where we're at, boys.
I'm just waiting for you.
We just got a letter.
Oh, we just got a letter. Oh, that's good. Or you mean a tweet?
There you go.
Were you just at Street Cash Homie?
That's it. We haven't even read it yet. I was just putting the segue in, so you're up.
I love it. All right. So you just put the segue in, so we're just getting ready to go on to this this particular part of the podcast then. All right. That's awesome. Right. All right. So let's get things rolling then. This is the first segment. This one's called We Just Got a Letter.
There
unless,
it is.
Of course, you already said that.
And I did.
Okay.
That's awesome. Why it was perfect.
Awesome. So in this segment, we answer Twitter questions. We got a few of them here on the script tonight. If you want to tweet us, we are at Fantasy Auction. And if you want to email us a question, which lots of people do, Twitter doesn't quite have enough spots or space for your information there, or you want to hide it from your league mates, you can email us at footballauctioneer@gmail.com. Did you guys already do the mock draft contest too?
Yes, sir.
I love it. All right. So we've got a few questions then, guys. Let's go on here to the first one. This one's from @StraightCashHomie12, who is becoming a regular question asker, guys. Anyway, Cash, he's asking this. It's a 12-team league, $250 budget, half-point PPR. He's keeping Hunt for 25 and Kamara for 44, all right? The most elite options are at running back, probably will be kept. So with the savings at running back, would you think that Gronk would be good for around $40, or is he better off getting at least one or two of the elite wide receivers? Slim, Giver, what do you think? Because you're a Gronk
Simple.
Guy.
Simple. Wide receivers. Go for it. Simple. I mean, you know how we roll. You don't need to pay up for tight end. Go get some receivers. See who's there. Bing, bang, boom.
Easy. Blister, anything to add there?
No, I agree. Like, there's one year, I don't have it in front of me, a few years back where Gronk, his PPR points would have ranked him as the number two overall wide receiver, even, I believe. But that was one time. And Grady was probably 5 or 6 years younger. He isn't getting any younger. So I think that I'd feel much more confident in my team if I went a wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree too. So, I mean, in Blister, you always go back to the year of streaming. I don't even know who I played at that tight end that year. Yeah, definitely pay up.
Nobody.
Pay up for the wide receivers. And I mean, after the first couple of tight ends anyways, it's just a crapshoot and a dice roll. So absolutely. All right. Easy. There you go, Straight Cash Homie. We're going to move on to question number two. At 207 Pablo, he asked this. He goes, hey, Marlon Mack, he's got the strained hammy. Do you think Wilkins can grab some early work? And then he also's got a little comment in there, see my Christian Michael, he's still lurking around. Blister, what do you think about this with Marlon Mack getting a little bit banged up and Wilkins out there?
Well, so far in camp, Wilkins has been grabbing some of that early down work, and he's the new shiny toy, and he was drafted on a few of my fantasy teams, so I'm really hoping it's Wilkins. I think C-Mike has shown in the past in like spot duties here and there that he is capable, but I think they would probably like to go with their draft pick in this case and see what he can do. And I really think those next couple of preseason games are going to, give us a better indication of who that starter might be. Because if it's Wilkins, you know, maybe he'll start the next game. He might not necessarily play a lot of series, play a lot of downs, but if they like what they see, I'm sure they're going to not take a risk of getting him hurt. So even if if Wilkins starts, especially games two and three, and does well and they take him out, I like his chances of being their starter. They might throw C-Mike in there to see what he's still got. But I'm kind of pulling for Wilkins at this point in time. He's got a bigger size, bigger frame, and I think he's capable of pounding it that ball a little bit longer out there, a little bit harder.
Nice. Lim, what do you think?
Well, I think that obviously the hammy is an issue. I mean, it's not ideal for Mac for sure.
Yeah.
It is something that could potentially linger. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I'm a doctor. If he comes back and they're using him, then I'm just going to think he's healthy. And I'll probably keep drafting Mac or thinking about drafting Mac. To be honest, I would rather own Nyheim Hines out of anybody in this backfield right now, because I think he's very cheap and he doesn't have any of the competition that Turbin, Mac, and Wilkins all seem to kind of get with each other. I'm not really worried about C-Mike, to be honest, at Hines' skill set. Like, he looks to be primed for this passing down work. They're using him in the slot as a receiver, all kinds of things, tinkering with it at least. So, yeah, if all things being equal and we take value into consideration, I'm going to take Hines. But if Mac gets out there, I think he's the biggest playmaker. I want guys like that. So if he gets back to 100% and they say he's 100% and he says he's 100%, then I'd probably give the lean back to Mac, but it's something you definitely want to watch for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Let's move on to, the coach guys, Coach Pow, back, tweeting questions for us. So he had tweeted this last week and I missed it to put it on the script, boys. So, we'll tackle it this week. So shout out to the coach. We all know how cool it is to have a quarterback and their wide receiver get lots of points when they score together. But does it caution you to take a running back and a wide receiver on the same team? Now, of course, you're not talking about late round flyers. Or do you just get good players regardless of the team? Blister, what do you think? What running back and wide receiver on the same team?
I know where some people stray away from this. They figure that if a team is really good, then the running back might be better to have, because if they're playing with a lead, they're going to hand it off a lot and get them to run out the clock. But they got to get that lead first. So in order for them to do that, they need talent. And I look at some of these teams, for example, Antonio Brown, Lev Bell. Who wouldn't want to have both of those guys? You know what I mean? Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon. The list goes on and on. I think that if they got a great offense like that, then you know what? So maybe down in halfway through the third quarter, the receiver gets shut down. Or maybe if they're trailing, maybe the running back doesn't get the ball handed off because they got to throw it a lot. But a lot of those teams that we're looking at have pretty solid offenses, and I wouldn't be scared to own both of them.
That's it. You just said it. Points.
Yeah.
Points.
Prolific offenses, points scored offenses, that's what you want. I mean, the points got to get on the board somehow. Whether you're mini, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, San Diego, I mean, like you said, so you throw it early, get up by 20, and then the running backs take it over, or you know, vice versa, whatever. You get down sometimes, like, doesn't really matter. So, I agree.
Yeah, and I think the list.
I was just going to say, pound the prolific offenses. If they score points, then you want those assets. I mean, and it's all about value, too, at the end of the day. But, I mean, those are the offenses. So, you want, like, for, you know, not knocking Dallas, but no one's running out to get their receivers. Why? Right. Well, because they project to run the ball a lot. I mean, maybe they're not very good either, but if you knew they were still going to throw the ball a lot, they were going to, you know, you'd be going out there and getting somebody from them. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
No, I don't think there was a combo on the list, Blister, that you mentioned that nobody would be like, oh, geez, I can't believe you took those two guys. And I mean, it goes on, AJ Green, Joe Mixon, Freeman and Julio. Like, I mean, you can just kind of keep going and going, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's because those offenses, doesn't matter it matters how many points they put up. It doesn't matter if they do it all in the first quarter, all in the second quarter, right, or the second half or whatever. That's the bottom line is the points. And I think if you got a great offense, then the points are going to be there.
Absolutely. All right. Awesome. Let's move on to the next question here. This one's from @Butsy888. who's the lowest guy in your tiers that you'd be happy starting at RB1? So I'm going to pull up both of your tiers here so we can stay together on this. Let's see, Blister, so what are you thinking here as far as your RBs? Who's the lowest grade guy you'd be happy being RB1?
Well, in tier three, I have both Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry. And I said I wouldn't be happy, but I would be nervously optimistic. I didn't think I used those big words on Twitter, but probably I kind of like those guys. I think they have great upside, but I would not feel nearly as good about it if I had a Todd Gurley or a Saquon Barkley or something like that. But I definitely, I think that would be my cutoff.
Yeah. What about you, Slim?
Well, the way it works out at the end of my third tier, I have that's my RB 12, and that's Devontae Freeman. Right ahead of him, I've got Christian McCaffrey. One of those two guys, I guess, would be my cutoff for where, ironically enough, it is kind of the RB 12. So, but yeah, one of those guys to me. I think they have enough upside where they can still outproduce that spot, and they don't have as many question marks or some concerns for me as the guys that fall into that next tier for me.
There you go. And I'm about the same at the same point. And I mean, really for me, I might go to a Leonard Fournette and McCaffrey. Well, Freeman probably, I guess my top 12, you're right. But after that, just like Blister was saying, I would be nervously optimistic with a Jerick McKinnon or a Joe Mixon or any of those guys, just because I'm not sure what the ceiling looks like. And really, I'm not sure what the floor looks like. And I can't think behind them at RB2 who I could have that would help to make me feel comfortable them as my one. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's about roster construction, you know what I mean? And you want, if you're going to be loose at one position, then you need something tight somewhere else. And getting below that 12, it's sorry, yeah. Sorry, that's a no. I'm gonna.
We could all use that. Don't worry.
That's right. Yeah, I'll leave the ring finger out of this. sorry. Okay, but getting off the rails quick here, boys. I'm only in the truck for 5 minutes.
Jesus, you led us astray. We were so focused.
I know. Sorry, guys. But no, I think we're all kind of in that same park, and that's why you have them ranked as your 13th and 14th running backs, right?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to go later than that, then I would probably start going towards a more RB0 approach, maybe waiting even a full tier to go into, you know, tier 4 or 5, whatever it is for you, and then just kind of trying to get 3 or 4 of those guys and that you think all have upside and just going really, not to say volatile, but like looking for a few home runs and trying to just stream the shit out of it every week for that upside.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Well, it's a good running back question to move us into the theme of tonight's show. That's what we're talking about tonight is running backs. We're going to try doing a couple of pods here per week. We've got some guests that we're going to have on the show, and we still want to do our positional breakdowns before everyone gets into the really busy draft season. And we wanted to make sure we got RBs done first here because they're the hot topic. And, you know, it is August, so we're getting things ramped up into drafting. So that's kind of where we wanted to move going forward. Slim, what do we got on the docket as far as guests over the next couple of weeks?
Ooh, let me pull up the calendar.
The calendar. We're so official.
We are. Except I don't have it in front of me. So. Oh, there it is. So let's see. Do we have it on here? So we've got Ross Tucker's going to be on at the end of the month. John Bosch will be on around August 23rd. Your buddy Mike Bex from the Fantasy Footballers is going to be on in about another week. So we've got 3 guests lined up. We're going to be looking to do 2 pods a week here, kind of one positional one and then one with a guest where they can just kind of talk about their thoughts on auctions and what they're seeing in drafts and things. So we're going to hopefully try and get you as much content here in the next 3 weeks as you possibly can to get you guys ready for your draft.
And typically we've been doing a mock draft live pod as well. But Blister, I think it's we've got Sunday night. We've got an auction rolling. We might as well get together. press record and talk about it.
We should do that. Yeah. So, Sunday night. What are you coming into town or?
Yeah, I'm in town. Yeah. And I'm by myself.
Ooh, ah.
My family's out of town and I got beer in the fridge. Ooh. And I invited Victor Von Lichter over as well. So.
And how's the Wi-Fi over that and the town with all the construction? Is there
any? Yeah, so far so good. And in my basement, it's right tight to the router. So
nice. Well, yes. Bringing over the old Surface, and we'll get on to that then.
Get the air conditioner cranked up.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get heated. All right. Yeah. So that's kind of the plan for this Sunday blister. I was thinking might as well just press record and turn the mic on and figure out what happens. So
let's do it. Yeah, and then on Thursday for the EBL, you could come over here if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds awesome.
Golf first. Yeah, maybe. Okay.
busy week.
It's wicked.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the running back tiers here, guys. Now, Slim, on the premium podcast side of things, on the membership end, you posted a pod about the running back tiers and doing, I guess, some quote-unquote exercises, not toe touches or anything, but how to kind of look at tiering your running backs. Can you give us like a little Cole's Notes, a synopsis, another fancy word?
Sure. Oh, yeah. We're back in English class.
Thank you.
I didn't do well there. I did a premium podcast where I just went through the auction values and kind of created tiers loosely based on what the values were, where there was some kind of clear tier breaks. When I do my tiers, I do it a little bit different. I try and project roughly how many fantasy points certain groups of players will score. And then I try and those will become my tiers essentially. So, and then from there, what I can do is look at the values of said players in a tier and say, okay, who's too expensive? Those will be players that I probably will avoid. And I'll try and be buying the cheaper guys in every tier. So that's kind of how I build my actual tiers, as a little combination of what I did with the premium podcast. And that's posted on the website as well for subscribers. My actual tiers, and that's kind of, I guess, what I'll be using tonight when we start breaking them down.
There you go. Well, so I'm looking at tier one across the board here, guys, and I mean, it's pretty standard as far as the five guys. Yeah. Everyone has Lev Bell and David Johnson and Gurley and Zeke in there. Whoops, and I'm trying to do this in the truck. I'm a little bit cramped. And Kamara. Like those five are in there. Now, the interesting thing here is when we look at it, Blister, you've moved Fournette, Barkley, and Kareem Hunt into that top tier. Do you want to talk to us about why you feel they're top tier guys?
Well, more or less for me, I kind of rank them according to the costs, because I think that I need to have a feel for if I'm going into a budget to an auction, I need to have a feel for a budget and what's going to cost me to get a top rank running back. And more often than not, these guys do go for over $50-some. Now, at the end of the day, I think they all are capable of potentially being a top five running back or a top four. It all depends on, you know, how the game's flowing and stuff. But I think they have the talent and they have the opportunity. And based on, with most of them, except for Saquon, obviously what we've seen in the past, they've shown us what they're capable of. So I think I have about eight guys there. And again, it goes down to cost. I mean, I kind of switched my tonight on my and I updated my tiers. I switched a bit of the pricing based at the top, because a lot of these guys that are going for over $55, like the guys that I have right behind them, Cook, Gordon, especially Cook and Gordon, they could almost be in that same tier and have 10 guys, because it seems like they're all going for 50 to 65 plus. And then the big drop off really in pricing comes down to the next two guys up, and that's Freeman and McCaffrey. So I kind of do it that way. Even if I don't necessarily, I guess for me, I base it that way so that I can make my budget. Now, if I look at the tier one guys that I have, if I have question marks on somebody in that tier, for example, Kareem Hunt, you know, maybe I have a question mark on him. I might, and maybe my concerns might be based on they have a rookie quarterback. You know, he could be throwing the ball away a lot. He might not be as efficient. The offense might not be as efficient. He might not get the scoring opportunities, et cetera, whatever. Well, then in my mind, I know that, you know, his overall capability, I might not think is as high as Zeke or Leonard Fournette. So in my mind, he's in tier one based on price, but I wouldn't draft him because I know that he's not going to produce for that price compared to maybe somebody else in that tier like Todd or David or Lev or somebody like that. So that's how I approach any draft.
And that's kind of how I do it too. I would group them, you know, in a tier, but also have guys that are probably on the do not draft list, but are in that tier because of maybe, you know, a consensus rank or because of what the dollar value is. But I know that if we're working on the auction you and it's in that top tier, and let's just say I'm using your tiers and it's Kareem Hunt, that's going to be the bargain. I'm probably passing there because I don't necessarily want him as my RB1. So then I'm thinking, am I going to spend up towards the back end of that U for somebody else, or am I going to switch gears and go to plan B and start looking at a, you know, McCaffrey Gordon double or something along that line.
Yeah,
right.
And and going back to that tier, if I have all those eight guys in there, like I said, Kareem Hunt, I might have a little bit of question mark. Leonard Fournette, you know, he's always nursing that ankle injury. And then perhaps, you know, Saquon's a rookie. So, you know, those guys would, I mean, they're not big question marks. I'm not, if I got them on my team, I wouldn't be disappointed. But if I compared them to the other guys, even Lev Bell, I mean, he's holding out. He had so many carries last year. Like most running backs can't, their bodies just can't hold up. So he could be a fourth guy. So maybe if I'm nominating first or whatever early on, I nominate those guys. I know they're going to cost somebody $60, say, and I'm not concerned about it because I don't really want them. So again, it's kind of a do not draft. Also, let's suck some money out of the people in the room.
Right. And so it's important to have those guys listed too, even if they're on your, maybe your do not draft list, you need to know how much they're going for so that you can use nomination strategies appropriately too.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to take them right off your list if you don't want them. Whether you use color codes or whatever.
Right. Which is kind of, I mean, when my, so again, on the memberships side of the website, you get all three of our spreadsheets laid out there for you. You can download them, you can print them, you can edit them on your own, do whatever you want. We always promote creating your own tiers, but all three of our tiers are there. These guys do it a little bit more in lists by position, and I do mine a little bit more as a cheat sheet, but I color code them as far as the tiers go, and that's a sheet I bring into the draft. But you can do that if you go to thefantasyfootballauction.com and click on the members area. You can have a look and see, but that is an option. And that's one of the reasons why guys like to come to the membership. They don't have to do the heavy lifting and create these spreadsheets and these tiers themselves. It's all right there. And you can look at the three of ours and create your own tiers based on that. So there you go. There's a little plug anyways. And so Slim, you don't have Kareem Hunt and Fournette in that in that group, and if I'm looking quickly, you don't have Barkley either, even though his first touch was kind of a nice run, hey?
Yeah, that was definitely nice. I feel like I group mine by fantasy points. So my first tier, I have them as, so I just minimized that page. I have them as all 300 plus fantasy scores. Yeah, I just don't see too many ways that the five guys in that tier one don't get over 300 fantasy points. And like last year, I think Gurley had, 370, 380. And then there was a considerable drop into the next guys kind of in that, you know, 330-ish range, something like that. I think Gurley regresses a little bit. He probably doesn't score quite as many touchdowns as he did. But I think guys like Zeke, David Johnson, Bell, you can pretty much just pencil them in to get over 300 points. And Kamara, he scored over that last year. I don't see his usage actually going down. I know that everybody talks about his efficiency going down, which I probably, you know, I agree it has to, but I think his usage goes up. So I kind of feel like it offsets enough that he's going to be in that 300 point range too.
All right. So that's a little bit about the first tier. Blister, when you're, I guess, first approaching your auction, let's say it's Sunday night and you've got your sheets out in front of you. What type of game plan, like what are a couple of your options right now looking at the running back position that you're looking at tangling with?
Sorry, Bex, I missed part of that.
No, sorry. It's just that like in, on Sunday night when you're going into your into your draft, what are a couple of different ways you're looking at tackling the running back position?
Well, it's to spend or not to spend, basically, and, and how much do I want to spend? If I'm going to go bang, bang to these top-tier running backs, I got to be prepared to maybe budget $120, perhaps. Do I go tier one and tier two? It's still probably going to cost me $110. Or do I do one stud and then drop down to an Alex Collins, perhaps, in tier four or something like that? And so then I kind of look at the different options I have based on the budget I set aside for running back, and then what the receiving options would be like. So as soon as I, if, for example, I have my heart set on, say, two tier one running backs in my tiers, and all of a sudden they're all going for over $65. Well, I'm probably not going to do that. So I get the one, I bail out of the second one. Where do I want to reinvest? Am I going to spend 45 or 50 on next year? Or am I going to drop all the way down and get a guy like Alex Collins who could be a starting guy? I was thinking earlier, even you could have had Marlon Mack, who doesn't look too promising now, and then spend more on your wide receiver. So that's kind of basically, I have, like we always talk about going into your auction with a few strategies, maybe A, B, and C. And that's kind of where I am. Here's my plan A. If that doesn't work out, here's plan B. This is where I'll reinvest that money. And if not, here's another plan.
Sure. So Slim, what about you? What if you're hitting a draft this weekend? What are a couple of your options?
No, I agree with Blister. I think everything, all my different budget scenarios stem at what I'm doing from the running back position. Because if I spend big there, then obviously, I mean, I'm probably just means I'm going to have to go really cheap at wide receiver. I mean, I'm probably going to go cheap at quarterback and tight end anyway. So whether that means I go really cheap on my bench and cheaper wide receiver, or to what extent I do, I mean, that's, I think he nailed it. I don't think you got to overthink it. I mean, the only thing I think the decision you need to make is, do you need two guys, you know, two RB1s on your team or not? And I don't think you need to. I think that's overkill. I think you, by doing that, you're set to maybe not really like what's coming with your wide receiver core. And that's not to say that, I mean, there's a ton of luck involved too. I mean, you can find that diamond in the rough on waivers potentially, and your season can be saved. So I just think that getting two really expensive running backs is, you don't need to, when you look at some of the names that are, that we'll look at in some of the deeper tiers that look like fairly certain bets to be pretty solid fantasy producers.
And I'll, can I echo that? And I don't want, I'm not saying this to toot my own horn or, you know, pat myself in the back, but last year I spent at least $75 on David Johnson, and we know how that works out, right? And I won the league, and it was because, you know, running back I think is still one of the easier places to, you know, to fill in. For example, if you drafted Lev Bell and he went down, well, you could also draft James Conner for a buck at right during your draft, and you probably got his backup who's probably going to produce pretty well. But last year, I think my running backs were Alex Collins and Jamal Williams when I won. And, you know, people Collins are probably sweet. Yeah, and you know what? They did the job, and he and so, you know, I feel much better when the draft and the dust settled from the draft. You know, if I had Zeke Elliott on my team and Melvin Gordon, but you know, if they go down, you could during the draft spend a buck on Jackson and have Gordon's back up, and you know, get a buck, spend another buck and get Zeke's back up, and have yourself covered at the same time. But you know, that's one of the things I always found running back, because when the number two running back steps in, boom, he's getting those touches. He's playing, if it's a good offensive line, he's playing behind it still. It's much easier to replace than if Antonio Brown goes down.
That's right. Well, we talked about that in the pod last week, right?
Say, 2 points. We just did that last week. Exactly. Yeah. Replacement value, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why RB0 is so, you know, still a viable option because, you know, you can get prolific scoring if with luck and, you know, the right guys get injured, but hopefully you're drafting some players that have some upside anyway, whether it's a Tevin Coleman or, you know, Rex Burkhead or even an Alvin Kamara last year. I mean, did we all think he was going to do what he did? Of course not. But we knew that he was probably going to get some touches, and turns out he took, you know, took Mark Ingram out essentially and became more of a workhorse than him. And again, if Blister would have had David Johnson, but then drafted Kamara as his RB4,
Pair
him with DeAndre Hopkins, who becomes a wide receiver one, and all of a sudden that's, yeah, for sure. Good night. No one's beating that squad.
Well, and I think the second point I wanted to bring up, the first one was that we talked about it last night with the replacement value, but also too that we do so much talk about the draft. And I mean, that's the most fun and all those things, but Blister, I'm going to guess, did you draft Alex Collins and Jamal Williams?
No, I don't think I drafted either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the waiver wire is, you know, the second part. It's just like the NFL. You have offense, defense, and the special teams. You got the draft, you got your lineup setting, and you got your waiver wire. You got three phases to this game too. And we talked so much about the draft ad nauseum, but being a crafty player during that waiver wire is obviously, like, listen, you drafted David Johnson for crying out loud and still won the league.
Yeah, that's right. That's huge, that waiver wire. You got to be on your toes and play that. And,
for sure.
You know.
Most champs find some nuggets on the waiver wire. That's pretty much how, you know, because I don't know many fantasy teams that get through the season unscathed with injuries, or you just shit the bed and then hit missed on a bunch of players. I mean, that happens to everybody. You got the sleeper that you think's going to win it for you, and it turns out he sucks. And, you know, that's part of the game.
It's all part of it. And Slim, I like the point that you made earlier too, that I think is probably indicative of the 2018 draft process this year, is that running back sets the price point and sets your budget and your plan, right? What you do at running back is going to be the be all end all then for the rest of everything else. Where I think in the past, a lot of time, you know, in the last couple of years, maybe it's been wide receiver has been kind of that price setter. I think it's a good point that kind of what you decide to do at running back is going to dictate everything else, unlike any other position. Not, oh, I'm going to do this at quarterback and it changes my whole draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's quarterback and tight end are dictating what you're going to do. Then I think
you're doing it wrong.
Hopefully you're rethinking your strategy a little bit. But yeah, no, I just think with the depth that we all kind of perceive at wide receiver, I don't think anyone really panics necessarily about, lose a sleep at night, like thinking about the receivers that they can or can't buy. It's definitely the running backs. And it's kind of the cool thing, for lack of a better term, to be doing now is making, we need to get these elite running backs, and they're going to help. They're going to score points for sure. But now it's become this big, it's this group think, I guess, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, everybody wants to do it. And we've seen the prices indicate that it's kind of been getting out of hand in terms of the prices too.
Right. So, hey, we asked the question, we didn't ask, Buttsy or whoever it was asked the question, who would be the last guy you'd want as your RB1. So let's Blister turn that same question or a similar type of question. Who's the guy that is like the back end of your RB2 that you're like, you know what, if I get one of these, let's say top 10 or 12 guys that we talked about, how far down are you willing to go, Blister, to fill that RB2 spot? Who are a couple of those guys?
Yeah, again, you know, I think I'd probably look at Joe or Derek, almost the same spot, or Alex Collins, perhaps, guys like that. When I look through my list, there are other guys that are going to be your starting running backs, but I'm not real comfortable with them being my RB2, just because I don't think that anybody you know, has there anything cemented in stone? A lot of the rookie running backs, potentially, Ronald Jones, Royce Freeman, Sonny Michel. I mean, a lot of these guys all have question marks now. Sonny Michel's banged up. Ronald Jones can't block. Rashad Penny might lose the job to Chris Carson. That list goes on and on and on. But if one of those rookie running backs are starting, I mean, they're going for about the same price as Collins. You know, that would be an option too. Darius Geis, obviously, not going to happen now. So I was really kind of excited for him, but not no more.
Me too. Me too, Slim.
I know you were, but that's cool.
Okay, so Slim, same question for you. Who's that? Where's that cutoff point?
It's pretty far for me, actually. I go all the way into my sixth tier. I think it's probably about RB. I don't have the numbers, but it's probably about RB 27-ish or something. Like, I would honestly go up to, and this sounds crazy, I'd go up to about Tariq Cohen. I got him and Royce Freeman at the very top of my tier six, and that would be about it. Now, that's not to say that I would, you know, if that's the route I went, I would probably have two other guys in that tier as well on the bench. So I'm essentially streaming, but I feel like Royce Freeman, Tariq Cohen, Lamar Miller, Marshawn Lynch, all those guys will get enough volume to be viable RB2s, and they have the upside that gets them, you know, to maybe mid RB2s, or, you know, maybe I don't actually view them as RB2 thinking, you know, they finish as the RB20, but I think that they finish maybe RB27, but they have the upside to finish as RB14. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually just buying the upside, and I'm going to buy a couple guys like that with that upside. And when I put them all together, I probably have a pretty darn good week in and week out RB2.
Okay. And that's kind of where I am. I think I would add Isaiah Crowell probably to that list too, if it was if it was me.
He's in that same tier too.
Yeah.
Eric Henry's in that tier for me.
Yeah. I think I want to take away some of that satellite back as my RB2 and guys that are going to be a little bit more ground and pound. So I think I'm willing to go to that Crowell. You mentioned Lamar Miller. I'd be fine there. Of course, Royce Freeman, we talked about Derrick Henry. Even a Tevin Coleman, I think, because he's like that satellite plus, if you want to use that term. Those are some of those guys I feel comfortable with. And Slim, I like that idea of drafting a couple of those guys, and then you're effectively high-end streaming that RB2 position and maybe floating one of them into your flex if they both work out.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I look at, say, well, like my tier five, just to throw some names. Yeah. Like, I got Kenyon Drake. I'm not a big fan of J.J., not a huge fan of Mark Ingram. He's suspended for some games. Rashad Penny, meh, uncertain about him lately. But then I got guys like Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis, Lynch, and Miller. So half that tier, I'm not super stoked about.
Yeah.
And then the other half, I'm, yeah, I could roll with that. And then that kind of carries over into that sixth tier. So I feel like if I get one safe guy, then I can go cheap and take some upside on a couple guys at relatively cheap, which allow me to hopefully go to ride wide receiver and again get some players with some solid floors, and then I guess shop in the bargain bin a little bit for those upside plays.
Yeah, Blister, what do you think about that, grabbing a couple of those guys in those middle-ish tiers?
Did you ask me that just now?
I'm asking you that right now, literally.
Yeah, no, I like what Slim said. I mean, you got guys like, I'm starting to warm up to guys like Marshawn Lynch and Lamar Miller and Isaiah Crowell. I didn't like them at all, but bottom line is they're going to get touches and they're going to be their RB1s and they're going to get opportunities. So, I mean, that's a big part of it, right? You have to get the ball and these guys are going to get it. So if you're running a situation like us, that they could be your RB2 and they could be a flex running back. Well, what more do you want there? They're guaranteed to touch the ball a lot. So
yeah,
that's what you're looking for in these guys. And honestly, with those three guys right there, there's really no other question mark. Like, there's no big threat. You know, Doug Martin, is he going to threaten Marshawn Lynch? I don't know. That's as close as they get, though. Like Lamar Miller, his Dante Foreman, who knows if he'll ever be healthy. That was a Achilles that, you know, it's going to be hard to come back from. Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Paul is nothing. So I mean, these guys have got great opportunities. You got great opportunities.
Yeah, so what
you want that? And they're cheap. They're really cheap, really, in your auctions right now.
Well, and here's what I worry about, though, is that We keep hearing these names come up again and again. If you're listening to this podcast, you're probably deep down the list of podcasts that you're listening to, you know. And even, so those, some of those more popular podcasts that you might be listening to starting to talk to these guys.
There's more popular podcasts?
Well, there's a couple. We're the most popular auction podcast I heard.
Oh, well, there you go. We got something. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. No, hey, that's not to say, I mean, right now, since June 1st, we're in the six digits for downloads. Like, we're doing well. But I'm sure that if you go on to CBS or the Footballers or something, I mean, those guys are cranking out bigger numbers than us. But I'll tell you, they got to be talking about, you know, I think Isaiah Crowell is going to be a guy that, you know, I'm going to be sitting on in the middle rounds or, you know.
Okay, but here's the thing, though.
What?
If all these maniacs keep spending $70 on RB1s, they can't afford these guys anyway. And this is what I'm trying to say. Like, that's cool. Go get those guys. But be prepared that in a real draft, you're not getting Marshawn Lynch for a dollar. Yes, no, that happens on Yahoo sometimes because everyone runs out of money because they all play like morons. Right. That's not going to happen in real draft. What's going to happen is half the guys might, maybe none of them. Like, I feel like in our home league, people are going to be much more restrained, I believe, than what you're seeing on some of these bigger sites for mocking. And I just think if you go in and say, oh, I'm going to get $2 on my RB2 and Rex Burkhead's going to be that, then I think you're going to be let down when six guys in your draft go fairly thrifty at the top end and they just pound those middle tiers and grab everybody.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're gone and now you're have CJ Anderson as your RB3.
That happened too, Slim. I did a couple mocks the last couple weeks. I haven't sent them into the contest yet because
you don't want the free membership.
Hook me up with a membership, but I did that. I went heavy on running back and think, these guys are, you know, exactly like that. Rex Burkhead, Chris Carson, maybe some of these guys are typically going fairly cheap, but no, it didn't happen. Like I would have needed to save, you know, $7 to $10 each, but really I only had $1 or maybe $2. That's all I had left to spend on a guy. So. Right. That's definitely going to happen. There's going to be leagues like that.
And I've seen so many rosters come in now where their entire bench is a dollar a guy. Yeah. And like they have $4 at this spot. And like, it's just mind blowing. I'm thinking that's to me, not a realistic way to actually build a roster. Like if that's what you're thinking is going to happen, then you need to go back to the drawing board and plan differently because
I think more my thought was that a lot of guys are going to be thinking along that similar strategy line that we're talking about. Grab a top tier guy and then grab two or three of these later guys. And I think two things are going to happen. One, you're right, see those big name guys are going to go for big bumps. But I also think it's going to drive the price up of these guys that you're thinking, I'll just grab a Marshawn Lynch for $1. Well, maybe he's going to go for $10 now because everybody else is thinking along those lines too. And maybe. I think that a couple of those dudes that we're hearing lots about Crowell and Lynch, and you start hearing about the evaded tackles on Lynch. And, you know, he actually was putting together a pretty good year last year, but he had a crap offense and yada, yada. All of a sudden, grabbing one big guy and a couple of middling guys, maybe that's the zig everybody's doing, you know?
Well, it's either that or I think guys like McKinnon, Mixon, Jordan Howard, you're going to see those guys, their prices go up because everyone's going to be fighting over those guys for their RB2. They're not going to want to drop down far enough. And I agree. I don't think you're going to get Lynch for a dollar. But I don't think getting them for $8 is necessarily overpaying either. So there's going to be the thing is there's going to be values somewhere in your draft, and it's just a matter of, I mean, where finding them or locating where they're going to be ahead of time. And it's not really that hard when if you notice a whole boatload of running backs going for $60+, then you know the values are probably going to be coming in around tier 4 or tier 5. If you see people starting to restrain a little bit, then I might kind of float out the idea of tossing out really quickly, even an Alex Collins or something mm-hmm. like that before everybody fills up their RB1s and starts looking for those RB2s, seeing and just using it as a barometer. Like, okay, where's everybody's minds at here? If you get a bunch of guys bidding on him, you kind of think, uh-oh, maybe they're on the same page as me. How do I readjust from there? Maybe you right. say, screw it, I'm going to go buy two of these top RBs then, because maybe that's the value. But again, it's just about locating where the values are going to come from.
Well, and Blister, I think that that's a good point. If we shift to looking at nominations at this position, I've been kind of tossing around the idea in my head lately, like Slim just said, like, why don't we, in maybe my second or third nomination, going, Joe Mixon and see what happens. And, you know, right now he's going for 25 as far as our average auction value goes, which is based on our mocks. And then, you know, all the guys have been sending in these multiple mocks. So it's a real life number, but maybe you get them for $20 because guys like, no, you know, Kamara's still not off the board. Barkley's still not off the board. I'm holding. And so then you can save that extra kind of $5 there so that you can go attack one of those big tiers. That's kind of something I've been thinking about as far as nomination goes. Like, what are some things you're thinking?
Well, you know what? That's probably right on, because just what Slim just said, a lot of guys are probably looking at them. They're probably looking at Mixon as either their starting running back or their RB2. And if that's the case, then if all the RB1s are gone, and there's kind of a small little window of people that think like that for the amount of guys that could be their RB2, then yeah, it's probably going to cost you more. You throw him out there early on, the first two or three running backs off the board nomination-wise, I think probably the best chance of getting him for a better deal, because people are going to say, wow, there's all these guys left, you know, and they're going to probably hold back because they still want to. The thought of spending on a bigger name. So that's probably a good strategy. And then after that, I think, the strategy really comes down to the one and twos, you know, your one and two guys. And then after that, you want to get people to spend money as much as they possibly can. So if you're still looking at running backs and people have money, you know, you start throwing out your Antonio Browns or even Aaron Rodgers, because someone's going to spend too much on their quarterback, or your other players that you're not interested in, just get money off the board and give yourself a chance to get them at a decent cost.
Slim, I think the sweet spot in these running backs, I think that's going to really dictate how the spending goes and where the pricing goes, is what you're talking about earlier, is that kind of I'm looking at my tiers, but that third tier, maybe RB10 through RB15 or 16, that Fournette down to Alex Collins type, you know, I think that's kind of the pivotal point where some guys think, you know, Christian McCaffrey's going to be a top five guy, or Fournette's going to be a top five guy, or they also think Fournette's going to be, you know, 20th because they don't trust him, sophomore slump, et cetera. I think those are kind of the, another fancy word, like the fulcrum of this, the tipping point in the running backs. What do you think?
Well, like for me, after I get out of my tier two, it's Barkley, Cook, and Gordon. I think most owners, that would be seven RBs off the board with the top five, sorry, eight, bad math. Then, I think now here comes the choice. It becomes, I guess, do I want to spend what some of these guys are going to cost to be my RB1? Like for me, in my third tier, I got Fournette, Kareem Hunt, McCaffrey, and Freeman. So I think they're all going to score relatively the same amount of points. Mm-hmm. If all things being said, so say those top eight are gone, it's my nomination. I'm probably nominating McCaffrey or Freeman, hoping to get them for cheap. And again, trying to work this auction U or horseshoe, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Thinking that if I wait until, say, Fournette and Hunt are gone, then that leaves me McCaffrey and Freeman. Those guys might be overvalued now, and I'm going to probably have to pay more than I normally would want to. So let me take the cheapest guy in this tier, nominate him now when there's still like four of them on the board. Hopefully he goes close to his price. I don't have to overpay, and I still get a running back I feel good about as an RB1. For cheaper. And I think that's the choice you need to make. With the first eight or seven or whatever, you kind of know what they're going to cost. And to get one, you've pretty much resided to the fact that you're spending what you're going to spend to get them, and you go and get it, and you're cool with that. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
After that, then now you have to start maybe making some little compensations elsewhere to get who you want, or actually having to play a little bit.
And Blister, I think this group of running backs that we're talking about, let's say from like, again, like from 10 to 16 or 11 to 17, I think there's a lot of money to be saved there. If, like Slim says, they're all going to generate similar overall points. I see such a discrepancy in the AAVs right now, where like a guy like Alex Collins is $18, but you know, Devonta Freeman is $41. Like, there's such a wide range, right? Where at the top, we know, okay, they're going to be 50 or 60 in the 50s or in the 60s. Okay. But this is that sweet spot, Blister, I think, where you're going to make some money.
Absolutely. And that's a whole part of the auction strategy, is you have to find out who you can pay the least amount of money for that's going to produce the most fantasy points. And if you're looking at, great example, Devonta Freeman or Alex Collins, you're probably looking at a $24 difference in cost. And that's huge. I mean, you could buy Demaryius Thomas
for that. At the end of the year.
And maybe a 20-point over the course of a season fantasy difference.
Yeah.
Point and a quarter, 1.25 points per game, but you save $20.
Yeah, and that turns your perhaps your wide receiver two.
But you bought Larry Fitzgerald for your wide receiver three.
Yeah, instead of Corey Davis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, then I think that's going to be a pretty pivotal point. And I think that nomination strategy in that zone is going to be pretty, pretty crucial. I think the savvy guys are really going to be paying attention in there. And yeah, in our home league, of course, the three of us will be paying attention, but there's a couple more guys in our home league that do their homework and will be in there too. And I think it's going to be an interesting battle. I think there's going to be some bids going on and some bidding wars going on in that zone that are going to make and break the draft.
That's right.
So, all right. So Slim, let's say, okay, so we've talked about those guys. Let's move down the list a little bit.
Do you want to go deep? Do you want to touch on some deep ones like RB0? I know we had a question about that and we kind of didn't answer it explicitly, because we thought, you know what, we're going to talk about this on as we get into it. So
Ted Williams, right?
Yep.
Okay. I think I always say his name wrong. So it's good. Awesome. Good. He's been emailing me and DMing me. So that's good. Happy we get to his question. So RB0, who are some guys you're targeting then, Slim?
Well, you touched on like Crowell. If I look down my list, I like a guy like Kerryon Johnson, Royce Freeman, obviously we talked about. Cohen, not a bad guy. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to put these guys as, you know, my RB1. Yeah. But if I say had to, you know, like we talked about, maybe going somebody like Joe Mixon, following up with Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis, Lamar Miller, Lynch. If you go really deep to roll it out, I like Gio Bernard. I don't mind Carlos Hyde, actually, right now. If I'm going to, you know, go super cheap and hopefully I'm on my bench. James White is a guy I like. Nyheim Hines. Matt Breida was interesting. We'll see how his injury comes back. Could he be kind of like this new Tevin Coleman? We'll see. And after that, then it just becomes like really all about flyers and stuff like that. So nothing really that I feel too comfortable in. Other than like a stab at the very end of your draft, like Chris Carson, perhaps, or, you know, we talked about Wilkins, Spencer Ware, Peyton Barber, things like that. So to me, there's lots of options. Like if you go that route, I think you got a lot of opportunity. Again, you just got to make sure you pick the right guys.
Blister, what about you? If things were going crazy and you're like, that's it, I'm going RB0, what are some targets you're looking at?
Well, Slim mentioned pretty much all the names I would have mentioned. I guess the biggest key, I throw in CJ Anderson there as well. I also keep an eye on Washington to see who replaces Geis, P. Ryan, or Kelly, or do they bring somebody in? Maybe they bring in DeMarco Murray. Those guys are all going on the cheap. But the biggest key is, like, you need to get guys that are going to get touches. Like, you can't just get, you know, Justin Jackson, the backup to Melvin Gordon, and then he sits on your bench, and then in week one, you got a running back that saw three touches, because that's not going to win you. And by the time you finally have a starting running back, you might be out of the playoffs. So you got to get guys that are going to get the ball and get touches. And all the names that Slim mentioned, you know, I like those names as well. So keep an eye on all those ones. And, you know, there's going to be, it's only week one and we had a few guys go down. Before the season starts, there's going to be a few more names that go down and a few more names that pop up because they're going to be given that opportunity. So that's kind of the cool thing. You get, there's going to be some shaking and adjusting. And, you know, I kind of laugh. You know, Slim, we were talking about making a trade the other day about running backs, and like my running backs in our Dynasty League are crap because I traded David Johnson in that league for a boatload of picks and probably didn't pick very well. But I laugh at that now because, you know, a lot of my running backs that I had, like, are falling into a starting role, perhaps. Rex Burkhead, you know, Michelle's out. Chris Carson's there. I got Collins still. I'm laughing at, I got Jordan Wilkins. So if Mac's gone for a while, and now I got Smarz, GP Ryan, and Rob Kelly. I don't like either of them, but with Geis out, they look a hell of a lot better than they did 24 hours ago. So, I mean,
trade window.
Yeah, there we go. That's why I still said they're still available. They're still available.
I saw that.
So, yeah.
So, hey, now let's say you're going RB0. And I mean, I'm just throwing together a few names here, but is it that, or as our buddy Zoobs would say, you know, not that terrible if you went Marshawn Lynch, Isaiah Crowell, and Aaron Jones, because in a few games, maybe he's taken over the workload, and follow that up with, maybe double it with Jamal Williams, or like Blister said, CJ Anderson. So maybe you've spent $20. And we've talked about this, I think, before too. Like, it's like Zoob's say, not terrible, right? You got two big workhorse backs. Maybe Aaron Jones comes in and, you know, does what we were hoping he can do. Now all of a sudden you've spent only $20 and you're going to save yourself 70 or 80 or whatever other guys are spending on running backs, and you go get Hopkins and AB.
Exactly, and that's the key. If you're going to save, go big at some position. You want to have a dominant position. So, and I obviously prefer to be go spending money at wide receiver. Like I said too many times, quarterbacks and tight ends, we can make that work. But go spend hard at receiver so that you really are dominating. And then if you're running backs such as Lynch and Crowell and Jamal Williams, you know, if they're starting and they're getting starting touches and putting up decent points, they don't have to be putting up Lev Bell type points. They're going to get, you know, maybe 12, 15 points. That'd be phenomenal, especially if you got, you know, two or three stud receivers starting that are, you know, the class of your league. So that's what you got to do. You got to make sure you go hard at one position.
So what do you think? So you got three guys in the, you know, around RB20, you know, just cranking out good points for you week in, week out, but nothing outstanding. What do you think of your team in that regards?
I like it. I mean, I liked it last year. I've always gone in with kind of an RB0 type budget just in case. And I think this year is no different. I mean, if you look at some of the names last year that were paid for with relatively small amounts of your budget, there were some pretty good fantasy producers. I mean, we could go through the list, but I mean, just Kamara and Hunt alone right there, some rookies that produce well, but like Alex Collins, Blister said, Dion Lewis, Rex Burkhead. There's just guys that are going to emerge that are going to be cheap. And if you can get those guys, then, you know, I think everybody kind of knocked last year because, well, Todd Gurley, somebody who wasn't cheap, was a stud and carried a lot of teams. Everybody looks at that. Wow, look at, he scored that many points. Well, okay, yeah, he did. He also cost a lot of money. The flip side is the David Johnson. I mean, that one guy goes down, that big chunk of your budget is now useless in a position that is very injury prone as a whole. So, Yeah. I mean, I think RB0 is always a strategy you want to look at. And if you're comfortable, now is maybe the year to do it, because we see how crazy some of the prices are. And while you watch everybody in your league just spend stupid amounts on running backs, you can just go and pound receivers and end up with, you could probably even take four of the top 20 wide receivers. And,
yeah,
you know, and the beauty of it is there's actually good values in those top tiers of wide receivers. Like every tier you look in, there's guys that could be considered a value, whether it's Keenan Allen or Larry Fitzgerald or Marvin Jones or Golden Tate. And then you get a little lower, it's Crabtree. Like they're everywhere. So even if you wanted to go wide receiver heavy, you can still find value guys and still have money to spend maybe at running back. And maybe you end up with a $25 Joe Mixon or Jerick McKinnon as your RB1, if that's your thing. So
right.
I don't think that that's a strategy you maybe want to just completely throw out.
Well, that's what I hate when we do these pods, these positional pods, because I got all these ideas in my head blister, like, oh, you know what? This is definitely, I think, confident. Definitely, I think, the way I'm going to go in my draft this year. I'm going to test this out on Sunday, and then we get to talk it, and maybe I like going the other way, or maybe I've got four options in my head right now, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, Blister.
I'm laughing because it's exactly what I was sitting here thinking fuck, what the hell?
No. And I'm the same way. This is funny.
I had two plans. Now I started throwing another 15th plan around in my head. I think, I wonder if that would work.
Well,
shitballs.
Because I said to myself after last year, the last couple seasons, I think I've overcomplicated things. Like, I've always just been in a draft. I remember even just in our home league last year, we were down at our away venue there when we kind of take the road trip, and sitting there, and I'm, no, he's not enough of a value. I'm not going to buy him. I'm just looking for the values, and I'm passing on guys because I'm just overthinking it. And I end up with this roster that maybe wasn't, it definitely underperformed from what I thought it was going to do. And I just thought, you know what? After this last season, when we started getting ready for this year, it doesn't have to be complicated. Like, you go in, you get an RB1, get one of your top 12 guys. You can go find a value at RB2. You can go get one stud receiver and then pound the values at wide receiver. And you're right. There's probably a very cookie cutter blueprint that I think is going to be successful a lot of the times, whether you win the whole league or not, I don't know, but I think it'll build you a pretty strong team. But again, the goal is to win, right? So can you build this juggernaut? And this is where I guess probably all three of us, we can't help ourselves. You think, how can I just kind of, where's a little advantage here or there that I can, and all of a sudden you've got a sheet with scribbles all over it because you've recalculated shit 100 times, and I don't know. Then it becomes complicated, I guess, again. But
That's it. That's it. Well, at least this one on the weekend, Blister, we can kind of be sitting together and record our thought process too, which I think will be interesting because we'll have all these kind of things going on in our heads. Oh, that's just like what we said on the pod the other night. And I think that'll make things kind of interesting. And I think it makes it different too because it's online and not live. I think that it it speeds up the thinking a little bit. Like, you don't have quite as much time. You don't get those breaks, right? Where you go, oh, you got four rounds in, we're going to go take a piss break. And
I love
you
the can breaks.
Sit there and rejig some things and look through people's rosters, and it speeds things up. And so it's going to be a good practice. I mean, it's a real draft, but it's not our big home league, right? So I feel like it's practice for the big one.
That's right. No, it'll be good. It'll be a good litmus test.
Ooh. Yeah, that's good. Lots of big words. Lots of school words today, boys.
I'm getting ready to go back to work. I'm so excited.
you sound like it. You sound like it. Well, I just said, boys, I was watching. For those of you who aren't Canadian, you probably have no idea. That's like the six of you who are actually listening that are Canadian. Everyone else is from the States or from New Zealand. We haven't heard from Rondo or what his name was in Brazil there for a while. I wonder if he's still kicking around and listening. We had Dutch reports a year or two ago. Anyways, I was watching Letterkenny highlights, And if you don't know Letterkenny and you want to, you want Canadiana, like you want to laugh at Canadians or whatever, like get on, it's on Hulu or you can stream it in lots of different places. Go to YouTube even. But here's the one, boys, that I want, that I, I'm highlighting tonight is the Shorzy Chirps. Oh, Shorzy's the best. You know, hey, Jonesy, tell your mom to top up the cell phone she got me so I can FaceTime her tonight. Like, it's just over. Get your, give your balls a tug for, on every – oh, God, he's the best, Shorzy. He's good. Anyways, yeah. Tell your mom to top up the iPhone she got me so we can FaceTime later. That's wicked. or I like this one, too. Your mom, I see your mom just – just liked my Instagram post from 4 years ago when I was in a bathing suit in Puerto Vallarta. Tell her I'll wear a bathing suit for tonight. Oh, that's good too.
See, this is good as a teacher. I feel like I should be putting these in the bank and maybe using them on the students when they get started running too much lip. I know.
Shorzy is he's just a legend. He's just a legend. He gets those guys wound right up too. He's wicked. Keep your balls a tug, Jonesy. Anyways, it's good. It's Shorzy's Chirps on YouTube. You'll Letter Kenny. It's quality. So feel free to tweet me after you've watched it because there's got to be some good gifts out there. I'll have to make sure I hit one up tonight. If there's a lot of Kenny Powers gifts, there's got to be some good Letter Kenny gifts. So I'll fire some of those out. Anyways, anything else about running backs, boys? We've been at her. Well, I don't know how long you guys were at her before me, but I feel like I've been here for about an hour, so we must be pushing this.
Yeah, this is good.
All right. Anything, we're good?
Tweet us if you have more questions.
There you go. So we've got live draft podcast coming up on Sunday. Receivers next week, right, Slim?
Yep.
Got that schedule still up? Awesome. Yep. And then we've got Matt from the Footballers coming on. Is it Matt? Is it Mike? Is it him?
Yeah, Mike.
Oh, I just screwed that up, didn't I? And he listens all the time, too. Damn it. I always screw up names, so that's fine. Hey, Coach Kapow, Papow, Pow. anyways, we've got a good list of shows coming up. Don't be afraid to head over to the website, defensefootballauction.com. Check out the articles we've got up there. If you're interested, we've got the three different levels of membership, so you can get that. If you have any questions, you can tweet us at Fantasy Auction or email us footballauctioneer@gmail.com. Don't forget to send us your mock auctions or real auction content as well. That's auctionmockdraft@gmail.com. Enter yourself in for a contest for a free auctioneer level membership to the site. Got lots of stuff moving here as we're getting into the draft season. It's exciting. For me, like, you know, this morning I'm scrolling through the phone to see all the different stats that are out there and who did what even in the first week of preseason. So I'm getting fired up, boys. I'm sure you're getting fired up too.
Absolutely. Yes,
sir. All right. So, Slim, I don't know when I'm going to see you, but Blister, I know I'm going to see you at my house on Sunday night. Beer fridge is full.
Good.
And I say, Victor Von Lichter will be there if he can find something mobile to draft on, and we'll press record and have the mic on and we'll go from there.
Sounds fun, man. Okay. I'm going to head out then. I'm going to head next door and have a pop. See you in a bit.
All right. Awesome. I'm going to head back and have a sauna. Slim, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to cross my fingers. Neither the kids wake up and probably have a beer.
Right on.
I'm going to pack up the laptop, the microphone and everything else I have sitting in the cab of the truck and head on over and have a beer and a sauna. So, anyways, Blister, I guess I'll see you on Sunday, and everybody else, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.